Last night was packed with a demonic encounter, the power of God, an individual sitting in my old truck, a man to the right of me, a man in the middle, and then there I was on the left. And we were literally, I mean, we didn't even know what was going to happen. Because here was a man that had been to Vancouver, British Columbia, and we had dealt with him before, and there was tremendous demonic power in his life, and we did deliverance and ministry to him, but something didn't seem right, and something still inside of him. He knew something was still there. He still had something going on deep within him. Though he was in Bible school and he was a lay pastor, this man is a good guy, and we love him and care about his life. But he gave me permission last night to speak about this, and at some point we may do an interview with him because of the encounters that we had. So this is probably the third time that we've done a deliverance, a freedom encounter with this man. And it all began by him calling and saying, "Pastor Russ, you know, I've got these voices and this pressure inside of me, and I keep hearing this telling me that I'm supposed to be a high priest, that I've been chosen, and that I need to go out and get satanic material and start doing rituals and speaking Latin backwards and going to the Enochian chants." And so he began to talk about all this, and he said the pressure was building and building and building. And so he called us to come and please help him. And so that's what we were doing. We were coming to see what we can do to help, to see what we can do to find out what was going on. So we met at a coffee shop, and we began to talk about things, and I could notice. And usually what I do, I talk with somebody like this, and I'm praying inwardly, trying to discern by the Spirit of God what's going on. And I just knew, you know, we're going to have a lot of things happening. So I said, let's get in my truck. And we took off probably about 9 o'clock or so that night. And we drove down to an area, actually, that we had hunted down ritual sites and found some ritual sites. And many satanic ritually abused victims have taken us to the area. Thousands of acres, old Indian grounds and so forth in our area. It's a very beautiful area. National parks are there, too. But anyway, we went to drive away from everything else. This man sitting in the middle, one of my fellow workers is to my right, sitting on the passenger side. And I'm, of course, driving, and I can feel it, and I know it's going to happen. And all of a sudden, as we're driving along, and I said, let's begin to pray. And I prayed, and my friend prayed, and we were driving, and all of a sudden, we prayed for the Lord to come and to reveal any demonic presence and anything that was going on demonically. And sure enough, demonic spirits came to the forefront, and they began to mock. They began to talk. They began to say things like, you know, he's going to be a priest, and he's been groomed for this. And just a number of things began to come out of this man's mouth, and his body stiffened up. And of course, we knew what it was. So we began to pray the authority of the Lord and just simply pray over him. And it was literally a battle for a while. And finally, when things would break, the man sitting there in the middle would be somewhat exhausted. But as we went, it's as though God began to give insight into all the things that occurred. This was not the same thing as a generational satanic ritual abuse. This was not, though, just a singleton that went out and got into something. Let me tell you about this man's life. Probably in the 70s and so forth, he got into the New Age movement and pyramid power and psychic stuff, and he began to, you know, feel that he had powers within him, and he was getting into the New Age. He would have been a prime candidate for things like Oprah Winfrey's new Earth Awakening movement and all the spiritual deception that's out there that will attract. See, every time you do a deliverance, a freedom encounter, as we call it, you look for the doorways. How did those demonic presences attach or get into somebody's life? And so we want to get there so that we can make sure that those doorways are closed. But in his case, it wasn't a matter, I mean, he did open up doorways to things in his past, and so we dealt with those things, and we worked through those things, but I want you to hear about how some of this works. This is not so much a teaching right now, other than just what occurred last night for a number of hours as we are out in a live Freedom Encounter. I told this man afterwards, I said, man, I wish I would have had a recorder and recorded all the voices, the backward language, other language that I had no idea what it was, the voices, the hideous laughing voices of the demonic and others. And so we, you know, I would love to have gotten it. And because I think that when anybody sees an actual real, like Mark chapter 5 type deliverance, where the demon comes forward, looks through the eyes of a human being, speaks through the mouth of a human being. And I mean, it is just really, it's really otherworldly. It goes way beyond all the psychic phenomena, paranormal research teams you see on television and the sci-fi and history channels and things like that. Because now you're dealing with real ancient entities that are out there that have gotten into a person's life. Well, this man opened his life and he got into all kinds of spiritual alternatives during the 70s and so forth, the 80s. And really, he opened the doors to things. And he began to have things happen. Now listen, I'm going to tell you about something. Satanic synchronicity. For me as a believer, I believe in the providence of God. You know, Romans chapter 8 tells me there how God loves me and that God is working on my behalf among all things. The arrangements of things around my life. God is working for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So I know that in my life, as in every believer's life in Christ, you know, we all have angels that work on our behalf. The Lord is working on our behalf. And God has a way. Have you ever read Romans chapter 11, where it talks about the great sovereign work of God and how God has, you know, through history, God has done things. But then you come towards the close of it, where it gives praise to God, and it says these words, His ways are beyond tracing out. So from the throne of God, from the where God is located, and again, the presence of God, the locality of God, everywhere, where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go? That's what the Word of God teaches. And I know that some of the Luciferians that listen and Satanists that listen to these broadcasts, you've written me, some of you have, some have stayed in silence and so forth. That's all right. I just want you to know that on our side of the fence, you may have seen dark powers. You may have had the satanic synchronicity of really demon spirits, entities, beings that have led you down that path you're in right now. And if you even look backwards into your life right now and kind of, you know, look where you first opened the doors to the dark side. And then as you began to see how the demonic presence that you opened up to, or maybe even a family generational line of spirits connected to your bloodline, they begin to set you up. They begin to connect you. See, we need to understand how real spirits are. The Spirit of God is the infinite Spirit of God. And the Bible says, for me as a believer, greater, Megdala, is the Spirit of God inside of me than the Spirit or the presence even of Satan himself who's in the world. 1 John chapter 4. But let me tell you something. Before I got saved, being Buddhist, Taoist, into occultism, you know, we knew of the powers, we knew of the things we were getting into, but it didn't go as far, and I thank the Lord for this, that this man's life is really something. We're still going to need to go in and do some more prayer and bring some more and ask the Lord to bring healing into him. He's almost there completely, but this goes beyond just the doors he opened. The doors that he opened in the 70s, the spirits that came in and that came around him, the new age type, the seducing things, and he got into, but eventually was led deeper and deeper and deeper. He eventually asked somebody that he knew where he can go to where all the new agers and all the different individuals hang out. And this person told him to go to Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, this is a person probably that was also, you know, very familiar with the New Age stuff and where energy and negative and positive things and so forth are presented in a New Age, you know, atmosphere, which is, again, extremely deceptive. Extremely deceptive. It's like the movie I saw when I was a kid in grade school where they were trying to warn kids about predators about pedophiles. And I remember watching this movie as a grade schooler and seeing some old, you know, 50s type vehicle or whatever, you know, or early 60s vehicle. Some man pulls up and a little girl walking along the side of the road. And he looks so nice, so peaceful, so pleasant, so kind. And this man literally goes to the young girl to get her to come into the car. He's got candy. The candy is sweet. The girl sees it. It's enticing. This is what the predator pedophile does. This is how sickened they are. They use the tools to bring vulnerability, to entice, to make it seem good. And they seem to be pleasant and so forth. But I remember the movie, the bottom line of the movie was is that the man got her into the car and stole her, of course, took her out to the woods and raped her and killed her and left her in a creek. But it all began with such nice, peaceful, you know. And that's, again, the New Age is like that. It's like candy-coated poison. It's like decon. Rats, all they know is that it smells good, that it tastes good, and man, they'll eat it up. They have no idea in a short time they're going to puff up and it's going to kill them. This individual opened up to the spirits of the New Age, and the spirits of the New Age began to synchronize his life and lead him to another person who had spirits and to another person who had spirits. If you understand anything from the occult world of the demonic of spirits, if you understand, listen, Luciferians and Satanists, you got to understand the biblical side too. And the biblical side that reveals the activity of the spirits that you have conjured, that you may have on you, and that you think maybe even the charged objects around your neck or rings or at your house, and you think they're all just there for you. Well, as long as you are their little buddies, as long as you are the doorway, but listen, behind them is a whole host of others. No demon, biblically speaking, wants to be alone. They want to bring more, seven others. They want to bring others in because it gives them more strength. It's again like a little doorway from their side to this side, and they want to get as many in as possible to make it a stronghold. Mark chapter 5, it's very possible that man had in and on him up to 144,000 demons, the presence of legion. And he was consumed. So it all might begin with 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, but in the satanic synchronicity, you know, they will lead you to the next step, into the next step, into the next step, and they will be guiding you and directing you. Yes, there are demon spirit guides and familiar spirits and, quote, animal spirits and family line spirits. And those are the spirits, even if they're weaker than stronger, powerful demons. You see, in the demonic world, there are rankings. Over the years, you know, we've dealt with very, very powerful demons. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul deals with a young girl in Ephesus, and the scripture in the Greek manuscript says that it was a demon. They called it a python. A very powerful, strong demonic presence. And yet that presence was kicked out. Now listen, for you Luciferians and Satanists and others, and maybe some, you know, chosen ones, you know who I'm talking about. You may have seen the powers of darkness. You may have seen the demons. You may have seen their fierceness and maybe received pleasures from them. But you really don't know them because it's all a mask. That's how they operate. God is unmasked. That's what Jesus is all about, that God, the invisible God, became visible. The whole emphasis is the invisible becomes visible, and God shows himself to the world and shows what he's like. If you want to know deep theology, just read the Gospel of John and you'll see God in human flesh. The presence that's behind all of creation, this is not only spoken into existence, but sustains it. You need to understand the physics of God, and this is incredible. I know. You don't want to hear me preach anything right now. I'm talking about demons, and maybe you're very familiar with that. Maybe a listener right now, by the providence of God, you also opened your life up to things, and you're hearing voices in your head, or you're feeling, you know, a real strong influence to go deeper and darker, you know? Listen, this is how it works. And you'll even see it if you read any of the books of the New Age and Spiritism and things like that. In satanic synchronicity, the spirits will lead you to individuals that also have other demon spirits. The demon spirits will lead you to books. They'll lead you to people, places, things, and books that will take you further and further and further down that left-hand path. That's what they're all about. And they'll entice you to seek. They'll entice you to open the door wider. They'll entice you to, because that's how they get the hook in. They want to put a foot in the doorway before you can close it. And if you open a little bit further to try to close it again on your own, they want to put their whole leg in and then their whole body in. And then they've got another and another and another until, again, we've done deliverances so many hundreds of times now that I don't even know if I've ever had anybody that only had one demon. This man that we're talking about, he had a number of things that he opened up to. But in the satanic synchronicity of spirits leading him and guiding him down to a further and deeper and darker path, he was led to Vancouver, British Columbia. And there in Vancouver, British Columbia, I believe they called it the Jolly Tax House. But I think it was, from what he told us, I'm trying to go back over some notes here, where they talked about it being a kind of bed and breakfast. A bed and breakfast, and that he was staying at this place. And here's how the story goes. Now, here's a man last night in my old truck in the middle of the seat where one of my arms has to help hold him a little bit, and the other guy, because every time we would pray for the power of the Spirit of God to come on him to bring peace and healing to his mind, to his inner personality, to his whole soulical structure, he would all of a sudden utterly just shake, and like his whole body would vibrate. You can feel it in the whole truck, and his arms would be up in the air touching the roof of the truck, and it was just an encounter. It was a divine encounter. It was the power of the living God encountering the work of demonic spirits and the damage that was done. You see, this man did open up to the spirits. Those spirits did lead him down a road. And so, up there in Vancouver, British Columbia, on West Hastings Street, there he was at a pub, simply a pub and a bed and breakfast. He had a room upstairs, and he's coming down, and he's drinking down there, and guess what? A beautiful woman comes up to him. A beautiful woman comes up to him, is talking to him and sharing with him, and he ends up being drawn into a sexual relationship. And he talks about the beauty of this woman, but that this woman is involved. She does spells. She does things with candles. She does things with, you know, he began to tell me about all the different things. By the time he got to the end of the story, because, you know, all of a sudden now he's coming out of the fog, he realizes that not this woman was used by a high priest up there by the name of Kevin. And Kevin was used, and this woman's name was Beth, and Kevin was the high priest behind it all. And they were there to seduce and draw people, and kind of like the old satanic film Spellbinder, that I believe was partially produced by the ancient brotherhood. And seeing the tactics that they use with using a woman like that to draw somebody in and entice them. And obviously, you know, he thought it was his lucky day. I mean, here he is out drinking into the spirits, into, you know, his own free lifestyle. And he's got a woman that's willing to do, you know, anything with him. And he's doing the stuff. And little does he know that he's being led into doing little rituals, and little rituals are being done. And he's being drawn into stuff, and he's being drawn into. And then all of a sudden he's drawn into further stuff. And he's eventually drawn in and brought into to some kind of ritual. He is sexually raped at a ritual. He is taken. They're trying to tell him that they're going to go to a hospital. It's not really a hospital. They take him to another place. They get him out of there. He's drugged up. and he's under some powers or whatever else. They take him to a place, and he begins to describe what we know that is used like the pinwheel. If anybody knows hypnosis, hypnotherapy, and you know about mind control, and you know about using mind control, and you know about hypnotizing an individual, hypnosis is a dangerous thing. Hypnosis really does put a person into kind of a trance state that bypasses cognitive, you know, thinking and ability and will and knowing. And literally the operator then is able to work on you. And you've seen it on stage on Montel and other places where they basically can get a person to do anything. Literally, they can get somebody to do just the craziest things. If you can hypnotize a 300-pound, you know, linebacker, football player, linebacker, and then convince him under hypnosis that he's a 12-year-old ballerina and that he sings like Michael Jackson, then tell him to do so. You're going to see this big 300-pound linebacker on stage going around like he's in a tutu, singing like a little girl or whatever. Or tell him he's Michael Jackson and he'll try to do that. So hypnosis is a very, very powerful thing. What most people don't realize about it is this, and I've got the things here, the materials on it. I heard from a number of hypnotherapists, psychologists, and others at a mind control conference in Richmond, Virginia years ago in the 90s. Corey Dunn-Hammond, I believe at the time, was the president of the Ericksonian Institute and head of the hypnotherapists and so forth. Well, they talked about right there in that room, because people think that you can't, if you hypnotize somebody, you can't hypnotize them to the point of doing something against their will. Well, that's a lie. And everybody in that room, and I'm listening to the head, a world-renowned hypnotherapist that knows how to and has hypnotized thousands of people and trying to use it for benefit, all that kind of junk. But anyway, they all made it very clear in that room. It's very clear. He talked about if you take him down deep enough, you can get him to do anything. Have sex, kill somebody, do whatever you want. You can have him do anything. Now, you can go back even further to Estabrooks in his 1940-something book, Hypnosis. He'll talk about the militarizing or weaponizing hypnosis in creating assassins. And they'll talk about the success all the way back in the 40s. You got to realize that that technology has grown. That since the 50s and 60s and so forth, it leaked out into coming out of military, number of military people that brought it out. It leaked out into the public, leaked out and so forth. And there's no question that a lot of satanic groups use it. And a lot of those coming out of SRA, MPD, and so forth understand this. Well, that's what they did to this man. They did something to the point of, and we don't know exactly everything, but they used a combination of drugs, ointments, and so forth. And I believe from what we know now, they were trying to literally split the core of some 30-some-year-old man back then. And they were trying to create within him the hooks to create a satanic priest, somebody else that would come up in the ranks. Of course, in that hypnotized place, they know how then to conjure or release, transfer demonic presence. As they program a part of the mind, as they program a part, it's more than just the mind, it's the soulical side. It involves mind and will and emotion. And so as they're programming a part of him, as they're speaking things into him, as they're telling him things, they're also then putting him through ritual, a sex ritual. They're involving him. He has remembrance of the sex ritual too. And after that, 15-some hours later is when he finds himself waking up in a taxi on the way home. Somehow, and he believes by the grace of God, the very next night, the same high priest, Kevin, gave him some kind of ointment that he was supposed to rub over all of his body. And he was supposed to take all of that in preparation for a major ritual evening. And he asked if Beth was going to be there, and they said yes. Now, he talked about this Kevin guy in the pub, and all these beautiful women would come around him. See, a lot of perpetrators like that have created sub-programming, if not personality, in women and the programming and the demonization. That's one way they hook them into being part, you know, to being like their little slaves. Let me tell you how absolutely hideous this is. They literally are stealing the souls of men. In the book of Revelation, in reference to Babylon, which is the apex of satanic manifestation and satanic technology in the transmutation of humanity. You see, we only know of some of the stuff they're using. And even what they're using now, they're growing. The demons are helping them in technology. The demons are helping them in the development of the devices for the control of the soul and mind of individuals. Well, this man, think in terms of it like this, a tree. You know, he as a human being, the trunk, he's okay there. It's like all of us, you know, even as a believer in Christ, there might be areas of my life. It could be that you're a believer in Jesus and you're not filled with the Spirit of God and you're carnal and you're letting some areas of your life be part of the old flesh nature and things like that. And part of the branches in your life are corrupted. But maybe you know it, you declare that you're a believer. Well, you need to repent of that. You need to quit living as a hypocrite. And you need to come and be yielded to the power of God and live the victory and the power and the grace and the might of God, you know, that you're supposed to do. If you're calling Jesus Lord, stand up and follow him. Even Satanists and Luciferians understand that when you do your rituals of getting into the covens and so forth, you got to do rituals where you deny Jesus, you do all these ceremonies to utterly rid yourself of all of that. And dedicate yourself. You're doing, but in a different sense, you're doing, you know, what I do as a believer. I open my life to God. I willfully, willingly give my life to the living, personal God, to Christ who died for me on the cross. Well, Satan didn't die for you on the cross. No demon has. Satan, demons, they don't sacrifice themselves. They want your sacrifice. They want your blood or you to bring them blood. Even you elitists, priests, and others. And you might think that, you know, you're at a high pinnacle and you've got the powers and whatever else. You know over your shoulder there's others that have more power than you. You know of the infighting and the deception. You know of the infiltration of lodges and all the rest of the stuff. What you don't know, in the black flame, though you see what they want you to see, you don't see what they don't want you to see. There is a technology. The Word of God calls it a blinding. It has the idea of literal absolute delusion, a blinding, an incapacity to see what's really there. You're not able to. Let me tell you an absolutely true story. In the township that I lived at, where I went to school, there was an individual that we knew pretty well. On his street, he was coming home and he saw a car accident. He came up beside it and he saw some kids inside, you know, yelling and crying and so forth. He went up and he went to the other side and there was a woman and she had her head out the window. The car obviously hit a tree head on. And her head was out the window. Here's what occurred. It was extremely foggy. This is the street. As you go down to it, it'll eventually make a curve to the right, almost like an incredibly sharp, absolutely sharp curve to the right, and then a curve to the left. And if you're to miss that curve for any reason, you're going to go, and if you go straight, you're going to run into a tree that's probably been there for 80 years. You're going to run into that tree, and if you get past the tree, you're going to go up on a yard, and you're going to run right into a farmhouse. And so during regular nighttime or daytime, if you're at nighttime, have your lights on, you go around that curve, you slow down, you go around it again, and you move on. This poor woman with her kids. The kids were yelling at my friend and kept telling him that, "Mommy can't see anymore, Mommy can't see anymore." When he went to the other side, he saw something horrific. The woman had her head out the window trying to see while she was driving in the fog. And as she was driving, the fog was so thick she could not see 5-10 feet ahead of her. So she's driving down the road with her head out the window looking, and with the fog blinding her and blinding just a few feet out in front of her, she didn't see the tree. And she slammed into the tree. The frontal part of her head hit the window sideways, and the skull that's got like the cap, literally the top of her head came off, and just simply her brains were there. And he described it. I'm not going to describe it here. He described, he said it was the most horrific thing. It was unbelievable. And the eyeballs were all weirded out from the head injury, and she was dead. And the children were there. But the fog, the Word of God says that Satan, who is small g, god of this age, this eon, this time period, blinds the minds of unbelievers. That is, those who don't believe in God, don't believe in the living Christ, so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image, the icon, the exact print, the God in human flesh. So for some of you, there's a blinding. And for this man that we dealt with last night in the truck, he was blinded. Little by little, the blinding increased. The thick, dark fog in his spiritual consciousness got deeper and thicker and darker. And he was led to deeper and darker things. And he did, you know, rituals and so forth. And this woman drew him in. And he got himself involved in so much to the point where they then got a hold of him and literally, physically, I mean, not just demons, but physically altered the structure of his brain and mind. And they did something, hypnosis and mind control and whatever else was done to him. That's why it was a little tougher. That's why in him being somebody that says he believes in Christ, going to a Bible school. But if you think in terms of the branches of his life, there are some things inside. See, memory encodes everything you see, everything you hear, basically encodes. But the bigger the imprint or the impact of some event, the more it encodes in your mind and you remember it more readily. But if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and you're not thinking and you're not clear and you're foggy, memory doesn't encode as well. And if you're hypnotized or if you're, you know, tranced out or if you're taken under and things are occurring, then your mind doesn't encode the same way. But the demonic can get a piece of you that was brought into something. And that's where the victimization comes into play, especially for those with satanic ritual abuse and those who have been brought into those kind of things. And it's all about them using individuals and children and others for sexual stuff, for rituals, for drawing demons, for drawing the stuff. But it's the synchronicity of Satan. It's the synchronicity I see in remote viewers and in psychics and in the New Age. I mean, people talk about it being, oh, it's the latent power of the soul. It's all in us. It's all a part of us. Well, is it? Is it? Have you ever noticed those, quote, latent powers of the brain, latent powers of human consciousness? You ever notice how when you get those, quote, awakened, that they don't lead you to the living God? They don't lead you to the living Christ? They, matter of fact, they strengthen a sense of repelling against and a blinding and a sense of within. You're willing to accept a New Age Christ, a Mormon Christ, a fake alternative Christ. But the real Jesus, God in human flesh, the real Jesus that Isaiah saw, the real Jesus that rose, you know, raised Lazarus from the dead, the real Jesus that walked on water, the real Jesus that spoke to creation, and the winds and the waves and the storm immediately obeyed him. You see, if you're in the New Age and you're into those powers aren't going to lead you that way. You're going to try to claim because they're going to say to you that, hey, God gave you this and whatever. But God is so far. Do you know God? I mean, really, in your life, can you say you know God? Can you say that you walk with God? Can you say that in a personal way you know God? Can you say that you know that Jesus Christ is alive, that you know his love, you know his power, you know the cleansing that he brought into your life? You know that you know that you know. See, do you have the Spirit of God? You've got spirits, but it's not the Spirit of God, my friend. You've got spirits, but it's not the Spirit of God. See, out there in Vancouver, British Columbia, it's like many other, you know, large city areas, and the doors have opened, and since the 60s, that second great proliferation of occultic literature that poured in during the 60s, and the Eastern philosophies came in, and the seeking of the, you know, in India, there's up to 300 million different gods and goddesses. Do you realize how many spirits and demons? Do you understand who Kali really is? Do you really know the background of the spiritism there? Does Oprah Winfrey, by the way, I'll be doing some special broadcast on the book that's out right now that is being used by Oprah and by a number of people about the New Earth Awakening, which is an incredible, absolutely incredible light level deception that will bring deeper and broader satanic synchronicity. Are you hearing voices in your head? Do you feeling influenced? Do you find yourself going to bookstores, places, meeting people that have demons, that have spirits? I'm telling you again, the Bible tells us very clearly, those Bible-believing believers out there, that the Word of God talks about, you know, Satan dealt with, you know, came to attack Jesus and tempt him and so forth. And when he lost, he waited till a more opportune time. The seducing spirits of Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, for Luciferians and for Satanists, the most accurate manual on the face of the earth, the most accurate manuscript that talks about the nature, the being, the origin, the endings, the agenda of the spirits that you're into is the Bible. And you're afraid to even pick it up. You act as though arrogance, you won't even touch. You know why? It's not that. The demons have convinced you that you're too far superior, too far beyond the incredible knowledge of God. A book written over 1,000, took 1,500 and some years, 40 writers to compile, but one author. Some of you have read books and you know, like Paul Von Ward, like Helena Blavatsky, like Alice Bailey, like David Spangler, and now like Eckhart and others, you know how the spirits have led you and guided you. Lady psychologist who wrote A Course in Miracles literally was guided and directed by the spirits that I'm talking about. And I'm telling you that it is a satanic synchronicity guiding individuals. See, you know what they're able to do? They're able to look at you. If you've ever seen the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this alien entity had the ability to see them, to read them, to listen to them, but to dwell in stealth, to attack them from stealth. This predator had superior firepower, superior weaponry, superior everything, strength, everything. The fallen angels, the demonic and unclean spirits that the Bible speaks about, in comparison to humanity, fallen humanity, they have superior strength, superior intellect, superior ability. They've been around for millennia. They've got an agenda. They can read you. They can read you and see what it is you're interested in, what it is you like. They can read you. In the Bible, it talks about a demon in this individual's life, and a Jewish, some individuals go, and they try to use Jesus like a little rabbit's foot. That's what New Agers do. New Agers do this a lot, and psychics and others do this a lot. They want to use Jesus, but they don't want to worship him. They don't want to know him. They don't want to come to him as God, for who he really is. They want to use him like a little magic wand. And so for the seven sons of Sceva, this, you know, demonized individual, they're saying, we cast you out. You know, they're saying, we, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, you know, they're using Jesus' name. But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have the authority of Jesus. And you know what the demon did? The demon read them. He read them. He can read your lunch, man. He knows you. He knows whether you have the Spirit of God in you. Demons on the outside know whether you have the Spirit of God, Christ in you. They know you. They know whether you have other spirits. They can communicate with other spirits. They can communicate directly to any spirits that are on you, any family line spirits, others. If they lead you to an individual that has a demon spirit, that demon spirit can communicate with the spirits that are leading you and guiding you, and they can make a strategy, a synchronicity. You ever wonder, oh, this is a coincidence? No, this is synchronicity. This is working out. Oh, I can't believe that I had this kind of meeting. Deja vu. And all the while, the dark side is leading you and directing you. And if you take a little bit of time and say, God, get me out of this fog, get me out of this darkness, get me out of this blinding, show me what's been going on, show me what they've been doing to me, show me how they've been, you know, playing games with my life, show me how they, and see, they've run circles around you, and you have no protection, you have no way out, and you don't even maybe know that you need to get out. I mean, the man that was in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, living naked among the tombs, it didn't begin that way. At one point, he was a little child. Somewhere along the line, the doors got open. Somewhere along the line, his life was open to more and more and more until finally the satanic synchronicity came to the point where they just simply used his human, barely living carcass as just simply a host to dwell in, kind of a staging ground. Hey, some of you, you're nothing more than staging ground. The demons that get into your life, they're looking for the next person, the next person, the next person. They're not loyal to you. They're not loyal to you. They're loyal to their cause. I've never met a demon ever that loves humanity. They only love to rape them. They only love their blood. They only love to revel in the pain. They love to revel in the woundedness. They love to revel in whatever you bad things you've gone through. They love to seize the opportunity to make it worse. Will they give you favors? You know what? If you do what they want, they'll give you some favors. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's right. Absolutely. They'll give you some favors. You know, if you do what they want, if you do the ritual the way they want you to, who do you think designed the rituals? Where do you think those rituals have come from? You know, if you call on things, if you read the stuff backwards, if you know, if you're learning the stuff and using the stuff, where do you think those things came from? they have laid out the path. God Almighty's laid out a path. Jesus was open about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no question that God opened a door. And open the door that's wide and broad, because God loves you. And God wants you to see him face to face. God wants you to embrace you. God has done what he's done at the cross to break the barrier of satanic ownership in your life, of a fallen nature. See, a lot of New Agers and others are trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with humanity. And the secularized concept of Luciferian doctrine was more education will make humanity better. More education, we won't go to war, we won't kill, we won't rape. All we need is education. We've been educated to death. We've been educated, you know, we have pedophiles that are PhDs. Rapists that may have master's degrees. It's about human nature and the core of human nature, the Word of God. God says that something has happened to the core, the genetics, the DNA, the very core of what we are. There's an invasion, the Sarx, a fallen force within. Hey, I don't know if you've read it or not. It's revealed in Ephesians chapter 2 where it talks about the prince of the power of the air, that he's now at work in. The word work there means a supernatural operative power. He's at work in the sons and daughters of disobedience, those who say no to God, those who say, I don't want God. Can I ask you a question? Why don't you want God? What's the real answer? Not the excuses, not the little phrases, you know, little cliches. Oh, God, why? If God's so good, why let the world, you know, be the way it is? Well, why don't you say the same thing about Satan or the spirits, you know, and all the other stuff? See, you're getting these promises. The New Agers out there getting these promises of, you know, hey, a new earth awakening. We're going to, you know, here once again, we're doing what Marilyn Ferguson did back in the, you know, the 60s and 70s, you know, the age of Aquarius. There's a new dawn coming. But spiritually, there is a new level, a new rise in human consciousness of spirituality, of supernatural spirituality. The Bible predicted it. The Bible demonstrates, speaking 2,000 years ago, that this would occur. An evolution of human consciousness that only blinds the mind further and deeper and broader from seeing the light of the living God that loves them, that wants them, that cares, a God whose passion is for them, a God who came here and walked in human flesh. Oh, not like the Eastern gurus and masters, not like, you know, namaste, you know, bowing down to the divine within. I'll be talking about that in one of the broadcasts, you know, where you simply, you know, fold your hand a little bit, you know, your hands together, and you're bowing to the divine within. What divine within? God created us to be sacred beings, to bear the image of God. Humanity was to be the apex of the creation of God. But what the Hindu New Age spirituality teaches is that you've got a divine spark within. That's just Hinduism. That's just really a spelling out of the Luciferian lie that you can be like God. Have you gotten this yet? The finite can never become the infinite, because you have to be infinite from the beginning, and there is no beginning with the infinite. The finite, you and I as finite, we cannot evolve. God is infinite, no beginning, no ending. God is so vast. God is so broad. He is so big. Do you know this God? What do you know? What's dwelling in your life? This man last night, we said afterwards, you know, I wish I would have had a recorder. We could have recorded everything. I would have put it on MP3 and put it out connected to this broadcast. The voices, the hideous backward language and other languages and hideous, almost insane sounding voices. Mind control. When I rebuke the spirit of mind control, the spirits that were used in the technology of altering his mind in the hypnosis process and taking him down to literally take a chunk of him and his will that wasn't willingly given up for it. That's why it's sometimes harder, because there's a part of his will that's kind of tied off to the left, off to the right. And that's what was gotten a hold of. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, helps to go to those areas to bring healing, whatever was attached there, we've got to deal with the demonic. And man, when we, you know, listen, there's a Bible verse. There's a verse that reveals the infinite nature of God. It says this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. No demon can hide from God. There is no ability. All the secret power of lawlessness, all the rituals for invisibility, all the cloaking powers of darkness, they may run circles around fallen humanity, around New Age gurus, you know, around Luciferian elitists. They may have them fooled to the nth degree, like Judas. But they can't fool God. And Jesus came, and the Bible says that he came to destroy the devil's work. You ever read this in 1 John 3:8? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work. Why? Because he rapes humanity. Because he lies, because the insidious nature. if you don't begin to understand the reality of who this evil radical presence is in the world, and that the world has been grid mapped, and that the world, all the way back to Sumer, all of you individuals that are studying the ancient Sumer and the Ziggurats and the Mayans and 2012 and everything else, listen, all you're doing is digging up what once came under judgment because of the transmutation of human personality, the hybridization of humanity, of mixing demons with humans, the cannibalism, the human sacrifice, the bloodlust. Is that what we want back? Let me tell you, of your mind, all you listeners to Coast, hear what I'm going to say right now. To the degree of satanic manifestation, demonic manifestation into this world, there will be a corresponding degree of violence, of chaos, of physical and spiritual shaking, of bizarre murders and rapes and pedophilia, cannibalism, and a growing critical mass, a hostility towards Christ, towards the very name Jesus. A hostility when Satan tried to get Job to blame God for what Satan did. That will come mass marketed in the New Age. A conscious feeling, a conscious sense, a hostility. Where's it coming from? If you're angry at God, where's it coming from? If you're angry at God, look into your life and see whether you got yourself into stuff. If you're angry at God, who's doing it? Is Satan beating the heck out of you and then speaking into you and getting you to look, point up and get angry at God? Where's God? Why didn't God save you? Why didn't God do this? You know, and all the stuff that Satan does. Job knew God well enough, even in the little bit of knowledge that he had, that God would not do that. God would not do that. I know both sides. I know that Satan can bring and bring massive pain into my life, and I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it through the years. I've seen him just ruin lives and ruin families and bring people to bloody deaths and to hell and not back. You see, you don't come back from hell. It is destined unto man once to die, after that the judgment. That's the word of God. Before we took this man out into my truck, out for a drive to do this 2.5 hour long prayer and deliverance, seeing the demon speak and praying for him and feeling the power of God come and seeing the authority of Jesus and seeing this man go through episode after episode of layer, like an onion being peeled, and one layer of and another layer of what these individuals in Vancouver, British Columbia did. Hey, I'm sure there's a lot of good people in that city, no doubt about that. But in that city, and by the providence of God, the jolly old taxpayer, the bread and breakfast pub, where is the high priest Kevin? You helped ruin a life. You helped literally try to steal a soul. You prepped this person for human sacrifice. But he's alive. And God's revealing what you did. And that's true of Bohemian Grove. That's true of all the brotherhooders out there. That's true of all what's been going on for 40, 50, 60 years. There are so many people praying for exposure and uncovering. God has seen your crimes. They're high crimes. It says you're compiling wrath upon wrath against the day of God's wrath. But even now, God would forgive you. Some of you need to get out. Some of you need to take the evidence out and get the evidence to us and share the stories and tell the truth. Save lives instead of seeing what's being done to them. Yahweh Adonai, 2,700 years ago, Isaiah the prophet, you know, sees this vision of the seraphs Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and is to come, Yahweh Adonai. This is Jesu Christu. This is the living Christ. This is the power of the living Jesus. The demons shudder even at his name. And those of you who have the demons that maybe you've fallen out of your chair, maybe you've dropped your mic, your headset, maybe you've had to turn this thing off, maybe you, as many of you have written that you've gone unconscious. Well, I prayed, before you ever heard this, I prayed that God would put his hand on this, that God would get it to you, that God would do a particular supernatural providential leading there in Vancouver, British Columbia. That God would expose, God would reveal, but that God would also intervene. And whatever coven, whatever name, maybe we'll get to that information next time. Because I'm sure that eventually this man who was in my truck last night, this man who had an encounter with the living Christ, and the demons one by one came up to speak and to talk and to scream and to be hideous and to be mocking, were crushed by the power of God, by the name Jesu Christu. Isaiah saw Jesus high and lifted up, Yahweh Adonai. Simply revealed in the New Testament, heard around the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sacrificed willfully his own life for you. He breached the barrier. He busted and broke down the doors. He blasted apart the finality of death. Jesus died for you. What are you going to do with that? If you want to spit on the blood of Jesus, listen, your own blood will be upon your own head. If you don't want God in this life, you will not get God in the next. Jesus wept outside of Jerusalem when humanity was rejecting. Sometimes it's simply because you love your sin, you love your decadence, you love your addictions. And they are addictions that you by yourself, some of you have addictions you can't get out of. Jesus Christ can get you out. Jesus Christ can get you out. When I look in Mark chapter 5 at the man whose mind and emotions and life and physical body was naked and cutting and blood was everywhere, and he's living in the tombs in a graveyard. In the same day, Jesus encounters him and he is totally set free, in his right mind and clothed, talking normally and clearly, wanting simply to follow the amazing Christ. Yes, priests and priestesses, you can leave and find the power of God. Now, you may be screeching and screaming and feeling the claws of your power demons as we talk right now, because they can't stand the name of Jesus and they shudder and they know it. And we would send a command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, striking them to acknowledge the truth, to be shown for what they really are, for the fog to be peered back far enough so you can see the tree before you slam into it and lose your brains and lose your soul. Last night, this man ended up praising God and thanking God, and the power of God was demonstrated. You're not going to get that help in the New Age movement. You're not going to get that help among psychics and remote viewers and New Earth, you know, awakening movements. You're not going to get that help there. You're going to get candy-coated poison. In the sight of God, I beg you, I implore you, turn to the living Christ that loved you, that gave his life for you. Turn to the living God. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Receive Christ into your life. Renounce the dark side. Open your life to God. Jesus will wash you and cleanse you. Everything you've done, everything can be forgiven and washed. You can be given the gift of eternal life. You can be given the gift of the Spirit of God. You can be given the gift of the love of God, something you may have never felt or touched or seen. He can heal your wounds. He can get you out. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, or preemptionbroadcast.com on the web. We're here for you.